Then he moved a little bit to some sufferings through the story of Job. Also talking about different type of woman in the Bible, referring of the why her were the situation or story that she was going through. And last weekend we shared the communication. Why me? Because we are representative of God here on the earth, and we communicate His scripture, His word over here, and share with everyone. And today, I want to continue talking about communication. So we're going to call it communication part two. Last weekend, we talked about how we can express the word of God and having the heart of God in our hearts, and then we can communicate that to the people. So today, we just want to share a little bit more into that topic and just consider some scriptures from God. And hopefully that can open our minds and our hearts to continue living the life that He wants us to live and the transformation that He wants us to have in our life. Amen? Okay. So when we're talking about communication, one of the things that God is putting in my heart during this week is about sales guys. Is there some sales guys over here? Sales people? No? I know you're, you're one of them. Maybe. Okay. There's some teaching or some learning about sales guys, because the sales guys, they have to communicate the benefits or the good things that they are selling. They have to believe in that product. They have to trust in the product before they present it to the people and sell it. So they have to communicate very well. Sometimes that product, it might be not going to work for you. It might be not good for you, that product. And anyway, the sales guy, they're going to do their best to sell it. They need to sell it. They need to make some money to sustain their family, or I don't know, maybe they have a different perspective of life and they are ego and they just want to have power. I don't know, name it. Different things. But the way that they use the communication, that's the part that we need to be careful. Because those principles that we learn from the sales guys, some other people also use it for other purposes. I don't know about you guys, but for me, I believe that all these scriptures over here, depending on the way that you're sharing and communicating this word, is powerful. And we have to be careful how we do that, with which intention we are doing that. How many leaders, pastors, ministers there are out there that maybe, and I'm maybe getting to deep waters right now or difficult waters, but because we are all in this boat, including me. I'm a human being like you guys, and we're sharing the scripture of God. But the intention on the hearts is really important over here, because out there, there might be pastors, leaders, or different ministers that the intentions is might be not the right one, and they're using this to the benefits of other intentions that they have in their hearts. Maybe to get power, maybe to get authority, maybe to get money. I don't know. It's just depending on the situation. And today I just want to share some scriptures, because you and me too, we get exposed to this every time. We're not just coming here Sunday and listening to the Word of God. We're going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all those days. Listening to podcasts, maybe reading a book from another minister, maybe, I don't know, listening to another person. What is the intention of that minister, podcast, or person that is sharing the word of God in your life? If it is true or is false, what he's sharing is changing the story, or he's really doing it with the right heart from God and trying to build you or transform you or encouraging your life to transform you according to His will. And that's the part that I think you and I, we have to be careful, because we get exposed to a lot of different things in our daily base. Different religions, different type of mentalities and ideas and religious and experiences out there that people are having. They have some epiphanies or some experiences with God. Sometimes they say that. I'm not saying that it is true or not true. And then they build this religion. And that religion, we don't know what it's based on. if it's really based on God or based on other things, desires, flesh, power, authority, money, different other things that it might be not from Him. Again, we see a lot of different ministers and people out there that they are getting exposed to these things, and then later we will see what happened. They fall. I'm going to share the scripture with you guys, and hopefully that's going to open our hearts. One of the principles that the sales guys use, it is the principles of yes, yes. I don't know if you heard that before. So before they are selling something, they just ask you two questions to go and find your answer being yes and yes. After that, then they present to you the product. It's going to be maybe a little bit more easy for them to sell the product. Also, they have to, again, believe in that product. They have to trust in that product. And maybe some of them, they don't believe in that product. They just sell it. And that product maybe is going to cause something different in your life. Maybe some harm or maybe some sickness. We don't know. And the intelligent part over here, the most wisdom part over here is going to be using the different type of communications. Which number one, I'm going to share three with you guys today. Number one, persuasive. And that's the first one that I want to share with you guys today. Persuasive. Persuasion, right? People, sales guys, and everyone is using persuasive ways to bring the topic or the product on you. So that way you can get it or buy it. In the Bible, you will see that because you can see that everywhere in your life. You're communicating every second in your life. Right now, I'm communicating with you. You guys are communicating with me right now. Because I can see your reactions, your faces, your movements, and that's a communication type also. And everyone are doing that every single second, every single moment. And the way that we're doing it, again, that's the part that we need to be careful. The second one is going to be manipulation. And the third one is going to be influencing or influential. That's the three communications that I want to share with you guys today. Because in the Bible, you will see that. You will see that God is communicating with the people. Jesus Christ is communicating with the people. Right now, we're getting communicated to these scriptures. And you can see also other manifestations in the Bible, stories about communication. So starting with the first one, persuasive. Seeks to convince someone to adopt an idea, change their mind, or take an action freely and consciously. So persuasion, it can be good or it can be bad. It's depending on the heart. But when you turn to the bad side of the persuasion, it can be manipulation. And that's the part that we need to be careful. Because the intention of that person is just to get some benefits to that person. And that's manipulation. It can change the truth to get or gain something. It doesn't matter how harm is going to be to you. Now, when we're talking about here in the scripture or in the church, we're talking about spiritually, which is more deep in your heart and your mind. What characteristic we can see about this persuasion? Logical, emotional, ethical arguments. Respect the recipients of freedom or freedom, the freedom of the recipient. Informs clearly and transparently, is based on empathy and understanding the audience. We can see some examples. Also, in any awareness campaign, advertisement, and also political. The second one, manipulative. Communication seeks to influence another person through the behavior of hiding intention, distortion information, or deceptive appealing to emotions. It does not respect the recipient freedom. Uses guilt, fear, confusion, and emotional pressure. May withhold information or present half-truths. Seeks personal gain regardless of the well-being of others. And I want you to consider this. For example, persuasion or persuasive. Do you see this commercial? This shampoo contains natural ingredients that strengthen your hair from the roots up. Nine out of ten people noticed an improvement in just 2 weeks. You see that in commercials, right? Advertisement, TV, and you get persuaded by that. Oh, no, that's good. I need that shampoo. I'm experiencing those things. And you will buy it because it's persuading you. It's showing you data. It might be having some good ratings from people, thousands of people having that experience, and it's working. And you say, okay, I'm going to buy it. It's going to work for me too. Let's just change it a little bit. If you do not use this shampoo, your hair will continue to be damaged. You don't want everyone to see like that, do you? You see, it's the same, but now it's twisted a little bit. More. If you don't use it, all your hair is going down. You're going to be bald. Scare, fear. That's manipulation. We have to be careful. Second one, personal relationship. I like to come to the family reunion. I know everyone will be happy to see you. We could go together and come back early if you feel uncomfortable. Persuasive. Maybe he's just telling you, you know, let's just come together. I'm respecting your freedom. People will be happy to see you. And please, if there's any similarity in your life and my life, it's just coincidence. Let's take it from another point of view. If you don't come, it will show that you don't care about your family. You always do what you want. The same. But then fear. It's a different perspective. It's using the persuasion or manipulation in a different way to gain something. Please, don't say anything about this one. I'm just doing examples, okay? Our party proposed a tax reform based on technical studies that will benefit the small businesses. You can review the full plan in our website. Persuasion. You go to the website, you take a look, and you say, yeah, that's true. I'm going to do that. You maybe have a good intention, and yes, let's do it, and you get some benefits. What about the other area? If you don't vote for us, the country will descend into chaos. Don't be one of those who destroy the future. Right? Fear, the same thing. Pretty much the same message. It's just that they change it a little bit from the truth. How we can learn and continue detecting all these things. They make you feel guilt, fear, shame if you don't do what they want. So there's some phrases like, if you love me. Everyone thinks the same. So those things, we have to just be careful. Pay attention. Just from the sender, how is his heart? How is the heart of that person that is sending that message? Because it might be with the wrong intentions. And we are listening to those every single day. And it's manipulating us or persuading us. Or it's maybe influencing us. In the Bible, we will learn from God and Jesus Christ different type of communications. And for example, we can start talking of Exodus 20. God gave the Ten Commandments. He provided that. And he said, this is my character. This is the way that I am. He is communicating with us. This is the way that you need to be. That's the law. That's not anymore, because now we have in the grace. However, I'm just expressing you the way of communication of God in that moment. He's revealing to us his authority, his character. He's doing some persuasion and corrective actions in our life, saying we need to do this in order to be holy and saint and be with my character so that way you can be in relationship with me. Simple. Communication. He also uses different themes like visions, dreams, signs, and prophets in that time in the Old Testament. But also Isaiah 1:18, he says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. He's calling to repentance. He's calling the people to repentance, communicating with them and saying, come on, come now, let's get together and reason together. This is God talking and saying to the people. Jeremiah also expressed some God reasons with the people through the prophets, offering warnings but also hope. Other communication that we can learn in the scripture is going to be through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It will be showing, for example, this the conversation that we shared last weekend with a Samaritan woman, a different woman, different culture. So he's not, as a Jew, he's not supposed to talk with her. And he's just sitting with her, talking with her, communicating with her. That's showing us that he respects that lady, that culture in that moment. And he revealed to her that he was the Messiah. Communication. Luke 15, the prodigal son, he uses the parables to show the father's mercy, appealing to the heart and reflection. To us right now, we can read it all these years from Jesus Christ until today. We can still receive in that same communication. What power is that? That 2,000 or more than 2,000 years ago, he expressed those things, is here written in this book, and we are trusting and believing, and it's affecting us positively in our hearts and minds. Praise God for that. John 6, 67, 68, when some of the disciples abandoned him, Jesus does not force them to stay. We talked about this last weekend. Jesus Christ says, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood." Whoa. That's crazy. What this guy is talking about? How I'm going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? They're thinking physically. They're thinking earth. They're not thinking spiritually. And Jesus Christ asked to the other disciples, the 12 that he was with him, because other disciples, that it was over the 12, they left because their worry was too strong to understand it. And now the disciple says, "I don't know. Who can understand this?" And Jesus Christ says, "Do you want to leave too?" Communication. He don't force them. It's a decision that you need to make. He's respecting the free will. And say, if you want to leave, you're free to leave. It's your decision. It's not mine. I'm not forcing you. I'm not putting fear on you. Saying, if you leave, you will be lost in hell. I mean, in that moment. I'm talking about that Jesus Christ talking with the disciples. He just say, if you want to leave, you can leave. There's too many things in the persuasions and also manipulation. And I hope, again, that that we can see more stuff right now in the scripture. So let's go through the scripture. Persuasion. Revelation 3:20. We know this is scripture. This is just like a friendly reminder. We know this powerful scripture. 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, respectful." He's not just entering the door like a SWAT team. Let me go in there and clean your heart and your mind. No, you. I'm knocking the door. I want to enter. But if you open it, if you don't open, I'm not going to get in there. If you open it, I will get in. And not just going to get in. I will sit down with you. You're going to eat with me and I will eat with you. We're going to have some dine together. Hallelujah to that. Praise God. So gentlemen, so respectful. Question, are we receiving that from those podcasts? Are we receiving that from those people that we're interacting in a daily base? Matthew 11, 28, 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to me. Again, he's not like, "Come over here. Come to me. You want to come to me? Okay, come to me. And I will give you these benefits." Respectful. Loving and caring. He reveals also, like Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent to you. He reveals his eternity, God to Moses. This communication establishes the truth and authority from God. So he's revealing in that communication. He's showing us who he is. With the communication that you and I were receiving in a daily basis and Sundays here, if God is revealing to you, hallelujah to that. And that's what we're praying for. Because I'm just trying to share the scripture, which is his word, not mine. And you have it. And if you don't have it, please let us know. And we will get a Bible. Because this is so powerful. It's not just historically. It's a spirit also. And don't forget, sometimes we have the mindset of saying, I'm a body of flesh that have a soul and a spirit. Hallelujah. You and I, we are a spirit from him in a body and flesh that he decided to us to put here. But you and I, the number one priority, what the majority of the powerful that you have in you is a spirit. And this is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is right now in your hearts, touching you, transforming you. All the glory for him, not for anyone else. John 14:9. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? This is the moment that Jesus Christ is with the disciple and say, I have to leave. In the house of my Father, there's too many places. So after that, then they were asking, like, show us the way. How we can know the way? We don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. And he say, why are you asking that? All this time you're seeing me, all this time you're seeing all the manifestation, revelation, all the experiences that you're having with me, and you're not seeing the Father? The Father is in me. What you're seeing in me, you're seeing in my Father. That was the communication, the revealing communication that he was presenting to the people. Is that the same communication that we're getting in our life? Jesus says, and he emphasized the unity and divine essence between him and the Father. It means by contemplating and understanding that Jesus is the one, and in a sense, he was the Son of God. Contemplating and understanding that the nature of the Father, it was in him. And he was expressing and showing that to the people. Also, we can learn in John 8:10-11. And again, sorry, but this is just a friendly reminder. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Who has no one condemned you? Has no one condemned you? That was the question that he was asking her. Where they are? They're gone? Please pay attention because this is Jesus Christ talking. No one, sir, she say. Then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go now and live your life of sin. Speaks with mercy, recognizing the woman's dignity and calling her to a new life. And that changed her heart. That transformed her. Because she was not experiencing that mercy before. We can see in Luke 19:41 that Jesus also says, and when he came near the city, he saw it and wept over it. He communicates his pains with tears, showing a deep emotional connection. He does not manipulate, he loves. Now, we also need to also talk about corrections. Because I know we talk about what we normally experience in our life. You can see some leaders and ministers and pastors or people that they will talk something that God gives some experiences to them. Some other ones will talk about from, let's say, God removed them from divorce, from drugs, from, I don't know, in the streets, from different things. And they will emphasize pretty much the message or the communication based on that experience, because that was the experience that they had with God. It's like Job. When Job at the end, he say, I was hearing about you, but now I can see you. I hear you that you heal. I heal you that you deliver the people. I hear that you did stuff with other people, but I never experienced it until right now. And now that I experience it, I can see it. And that's the same thing that Jesus Christ was saying to Philip. He said, you already experienced it. Don't say that you just hear that. You see it in me, and if you see it in me, you're seeing the Father. Now, let's take a look a little bit of the corrective also, because we have to also see that God, he's also showing his wrath when something is not going the right way. So we have to also be open to that type of communication. Jeremiah 7, 23 through 24. Walk in all the ways I have commanded you, but they did not listen or incline their ear, but walk in their own counsels. This is a different translation. Counsels, their own understanding, their own believing, because the communication they are receiving. And thus, the corrective actions and corrections that they are receiving from God, the communication that we are receiving from God. Matthew 23, 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs. Jesus Christ talking to the Pharisees, to the religious people. So also a little bit strong over there. Genesis 3, 1, now we can see some manipulation. And you know this story. Genesis 3, 1. Did God really say you should not eat of any tree in the garden? Does that sound familiar? That's Satan talking to Eve. Manipulation. The Bible is talking about those two different communications over there. Is that the experience that you and I have in a daily basis? Just pass it through that filter. Use the scripture as a reference. And if you are experiencing those things, just be careful. Because maybe the intention of why you're listening, it might be not correct. And it will be maybe affecting your perception of what God is wanting to do in your life. The end, we will get over there. Matthew 4, 6, also, this is the temptation from Satan to Jesus Christ. Manipulation. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Manipulation. That's the way that we can see and learn more in the scripture about the different communications. And we can see the persuasive way and the manipulation. And I want to share also with you guys 2 Samuel 3:35. 2 Samuel 3:35, this is a war that happened when David was a king. And then Abner, he reveals also against him, and then he got killed. And now we get to this point in 2 Samuel 3:35 that it says, then they all came and urged David. This is the people. The Israelites over there in that moment. In another translation, it says, they persuade David to eat something while it was still day. But David took an oath, saying, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if I taste bread or anything else before the sun sets. All the people took note and were pleased. Indeed, everything the king did please them. So on that day, all the people there, And all Israel knew that the king had no part in the murder of Abner, son of Ner. Then the king said to his men, "Do you not realize that a commander and a great man has fallen in Israel this day? And today, though I am the anointed king, I am weak. And these sons of Zeruiah are too strong for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil deeds." In other words, I'm going to let God make the payment. The communication of the people, it is, you haven't eaten all day. Let me persuade you to eat something. Say no, because David is not receiving that from God. He's receiving it from the people. And the people wants to manipulate that moment. He say, no, I will not do it because I want to please God. And who orchestrated this murder, let God pay that. Not you, not me. Matthew 28, if this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him. In others' translation, we will persuade him and keep you out of trouble. This is the highest priest. When they're talking about the body of Jesus Christ on the tomb, in the tomb, and it was Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and now he's not there, and the guards went to the high priest, the body's not there. Trouble. How we can explain this? Let me give you some money. Don't say anything. If the governor says something, don't worry. I got it. I will persuade him. We're going to say that his disciples took the body. And that's happening until today. Some other religions believe that the body was taken by the disciples. It was not raised from the dead. But you and I, we believe that it was raised from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 16:31. He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not convince, they will not persuade, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. "Please, Abraham, send word to my family. I have five brothers. Let them know to not come here to hell. This fire, I don't want them to go through this situation." Abraham says, if they don't hear the prophets and Moses, if they don't hear the people that he was sent by God, what he sent by God, they're not going to listen anyway. Persuasion, manipulation. Acts 21, 12. When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus, when he will not be dissuaded." We gave up and say, "The Lord's will be done." And that's the heart that we need to have. And I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult because we're receiving too many communications right now on our life, and that's persuading us and making changes in our life and ideas that is getting in our hearts, and that's what we are manifesting. And the hearts that we need to have, it is the Lord's will be done, because his will is perfect and his will is going to be done anyway. His will is the one that is powerful. His will is the one, not anyone's will, using the persuasion or manipulation in an incorrectly manner in our life. Now, I want to leave you with the third one and last one, which is influence. This one is a little bit different. It's the act of exerting an action or effect of someone or something, changing their way of thinking, feeling, or acting. It doesn't necessarily imply a negative or positive intention. It's a natural process that occurs in the human interaction, respecting the freedom, respecting the will of the person, and how that happened through Jesus Christ. You can see that he influenced multitudes with his examples, words, actions, many people, until today, guys. 2,000 years. What a great communicator. What a great, powerful Son of God. Everything. Jesus Christ is amazing. And that's been helping us to be where we are right now and experience his love, his teaching, his influence, and everything that we are receiving through him. And I want you to show you a few more scriptures. Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Influencing. And also John 13, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example, influence, that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Influencing your life, influencing your heart. He is changing your mentality, applying what he's changing in your mentality. He's not just saying it or putting fear in your hearts and then just give you the back and keep walking. He's setting the example. He's doing it, teaching us that we need to do the same thing. And that's a great influential power in our hearts and mind. And that would be also my recommendation in your hearts and mind for your specific position of leadership. And it doesn't mean that for being a leader, you have to have a ministry or being a manager in a company or be an owner in a business. You're a leader in your house. You're a father. You're maybe a brother, a son, a husband. So you have a leadership. Try my recommendation. Try that your leadership being an influential leadership. Apply what you're saying. Help others. Love each other. Not just saying it. Let's do it. And that's why the scriptures, the thing that we need to be careful with, the manipulations and other things that we're listening out there. 2 Corinthians 11:12. "And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false prophets, apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." Let it be. They will get the pay. You be careful. Because maybe the appearance, it will be light, it will be righteousness, but internally the intentions are other ones. Luke 11:33, "No one lights a lamp and puts in it in a place where it will be hidden." I already shared that one, sorry. Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone who who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Ay, ay, ay. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Miracles, deliverance. The intention, guys. The intentions of the heart. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's going to be tough. It's just protect your heart. Guard your heart. There's too many evildoers out there. You guys know the story about Saul. Saul, the king. He was disobedient. He lost the blessing of God. God decided to then bless David. Now he's the king. In the middle part, that it was David to get really physical to the throne, Saul is still a king, but without God in his heart, because he was disobedient. And Saul know what he lost, because he need the communication from God to get peace on his heart and guidance to continue being a king. Without him, you're nobody. You're nothing. It doesn't matter that you are a king. He's the one putting you as a king. And what he did, I need the communication. Let me talk with the witch of Endor. Let me talk with her. I need to talk with Samuel, because Samuel already passed away. Maybe she can get in contact with him, and then I can get some guidance. And communicate, right? He went over there, and you know what happened. Next day, after that communication that he had, he died. God already talked to our hearts. God already knows, and he put in our hearts to listen to his voice. The enemy, according to the scripture we just shared, he can be, what it says? Masquerading. Masquerading. And we don't know. That God says that you cannot eat from that tree. That's why you and I listen every day. Sometimes we get exposed to this. Don't think that we are just listening to God every single day. The enemy is going to do his part every single day also. He's going to try to attract you and bring you back to the old life. It's just that depending on you and me, how we are taking those voices and that communication and say, no, I'm not going to listen to your manipulation, Satan. I'm going to continue believing in my God. The one that he say what I am. The one that he already declared and saved me. That's the one. And that's the one that I'm going to believe. I shared something with the board last weekend. Don't share it. Don't spit it out, the answer. And this I learned from my work in that meeting that I shared with you guys last weekend. And I'm going to throw the question to you guys. I am a manager, and I am the fan of the New York Mets. Who knows who's the New York Mets here? Baseball team, right? The Mets. And then I have this group of people that they are also New York Mets fans. And then I have these people over here that they are New York Yankees fans. And then I give the hard task to these people. And this one the lightest. And I'm being unfair. question that to yourself and answer it. Because that's what we're facing every day. And we are starting assuming that the decision that we are seeing in other people's, or maybe the communication that we are getting from other people, are based in our own truth. Oh, that's unfair. Yeah, he's giving the hard tax, the difficult ones, to the Yankees fans because he's not fans of them. Maybe no. Maybe these people are more capable to manage the hard task. Your whole day is messed up just because of that assumption. Think about it. The devil. Assumptions. And throwing those darts to confuse us. Don't let the enemy do that in your life. He's defeated. Jesus Christ already defeated him. He's just trying to bring you back. But you already know where you're at. So continue, move forward. Believe in him. God is good all the time. Father God, thank you. We worship you, we praise you, and we declare all your glory and your presence and your grace in our hearts and in our minds. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today and bless this congregation. Please, God, continue blessing our hearts and our mind. Please continue putting in our hearts humbleness so that way we can continue receiving your love, your scripture, your presence, and everything that you have for us in a humble manner. Respecting each other, loving each other, and understanding that this is not coming from us, that it's coming from you. That you are the provider, that you are the healer, that you are the one taking care of us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we love you and we praise you. Amen and amen.
Would you stand with us?